We regret that the first segment featuring Hannu Vamaraju on the data security issues was unrecorded due to a glitch in our system. We apologize, but we hope that you enjoyed the rest of the segments.
Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m.
on Masala 98.7 FM.
Our studio number, 281-277-6874.
Hello, everybody. This is Jawahar, and you just heard me a couple of minutes ago. Now I'm back on. What do you think about that, Sanjali?
Good evening, everyone. It's good to be back. This is Indo-American News Radio. You must have heard Jawahar for 1 hour now, so all of you must probably be bored of listening to Jawahar's voice. So Jawahar, give it a break for a little bit.
That's why you're doing all the talking and laughing.
Well, welcome to our show. We're glad to have you with us.
Don't forget, we got Pramod on the line too.
Oh, hi, Pramod. Yes. You made
it. Calling in from Harrington Bay on the coast of Maryland.
I can hear the ocean behind you.
Yes, it is there. And I'm at a wedding site, and it's entirely outdoor. There's no room that I can hide in, but here goes.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us from the, you know, actually attending the wedding ceremony. Appreciate that.
Yes.
Well, you know, Pramod is in a part of the country that I was in last week.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Weather must be wonderful now, huh?
It's Annapolis, just south of Baltimore. And it's actually a very pretty city, pretty little town, don't you think, Pramod?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. It's historic, and it has so much greenery and the sea. And also, the last 2 days, the weather has been fantastic. It's like paradise on earth.
Yeah, there's a nice marina and very, very old structures. The houses, some of them are like 130, 140 years old, maybe even older. Well, George Washington actually resigned his commission in Annapolis before he became president.
It's the Maryland State House, and we saw it yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it has the largest wooden dome in the country. And it's built entirely in wood. There are two structures, an internal dome and an external dome, and there's no nail. They're held together by wooden
pegs.
Tents. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite neat. It's and the room where Washington designed his military post as the commander-in-chief is quite moving because, you know, that's a great milestone for democracy where he could have easily become King George of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But he resigned his commission, and then he still became president, but it was only for a short while.
Right.
I visited that last week, too. I was really impressed. And there's a nice deli, more modern stuff. It's called Chick and Ruth's Deli. It's a Jewish deli right on Main Street. Very nice. Hmm. So, Pramod, now that we've done a little bit of traveling of our own, Dan Mayor did a little traveling last week, right, with us in Varanasi?
Yes, last week, yes.
And so now we're doing a little traveling in southern Maryland. Are you going to be doing the news from there?
Yeah, I can do it if my sound quality is decent.
The sound quality is okay. You know, it's not as bad as the last week where you were whizzing by on Haley's comment going, woo!
Oh, Jawahar, you heard that?
I heard that. It was like, woo-hoo.
Yeah, it's good I took over.
Yeah. At that time, I was in rural Massachusetts, suburb of Boston, and I guess the Wi-Fi is not that good there.
Oh. Yeah. By the way, I have to say a couple of things before we go there. One is that now Music Masala has upgraded their little lobby waiting room outside of the studio. They have a floor-to-ceiling picture of Churchgate, I think, in color that covers the entire wall, even the doors. It feels like you're walking through into Churchgate. Mm-hmm. And then And then the other thing is Sanchali is looking very, very nice today in her colorful outfit.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, okay.
I have to get on the better side of her, you know.
Pramod, you are missing out on samosas.
Oh, well.
Garma garam samosa.
Next Saturday.
Oh, you'll be here.
Good, I'm glad you'll be here. Okay.
So with that, Sanchali, you wouldn't do the lineup or do you?
Sure.
Yep.
Okay, so as all of you know, you're listening to Indo-American News Radio. We've added an hour from 3 to 4 p.m. of a new segment called IAN Unplugged. And of course, you heard Jawahar and Pradeep Gokhale today talking about several topics, including climate change and Medicare, Medicaid, new guidelines. So that was interesting. So be sure to listen and call in with your comments at 281-277-6874. The guest lineup for today, October the 2nd, which is Mahatma Gandhi's birthday, public holiday in India.
Yay!
Yay! I think people who are off on Saturdays will miss out on the public holiday because they don't give you another day in its place like they do over here, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you just miss out anyway.
So happy Mahatma Gandhi. Is that appropriate to say happy Mahatma Gandhi?
Gandhi Day,
Jayanti?
Why not? Yeah, Gandhi Jayanti, happy Gandhi Jayanti. Yeah.
Some people aren't very happy what happened.
No, that is the Smriti Din that he was assassinated. This is his birthday.
Yeah, so we have to celebrate his life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can listen to us on www.indoamerican-news.com or on 98.7 FM as you are. And also we are available on the Masala Radio app, www.masalaradio.com. You can hear our podcast of the recorded show, which is uploaded by the following Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Radio Public and Breaker. Be sure to subscribe to our channel. It's free and lets you listen with just one click. Invasion of privacy has become a huge concern in the US. But over the past few years, as the internet has profligated, is that the right word?
Yeah, profligated.
Okay. Database privacy has become...
It was a new word to me too.
Yeah, it has become a worldwide concern. So at 4:20 p.m. today, we will be talking to Hanu Vamaraju, an entrepreneur who has worked on how to balance the amount of data that reaches into the public domain and is now working on enterprise solutions to learn the basics of database mining. Wow, that also is a new term for me, database mining. So I hope to learn a lot at 4:20. At 5 p.m., we have our lovely, beautiful attorney, Sonia Behrana Rush. She has thrown her hat into the race for Fort Bend Justice of the Peace from Precinct 4. She has a very friendly manner and a sense of humor, attributes that should be good assets for the position. So Sonia will explain why she feels qualified for the position and her aspirations should she get elected. Great. I'm so excited. Okay, next. Erica Greider is a much respected Houston Chronicle columnist. She's been with us several times on our show before. She will be talking to us at 4:20 about the current redistributing efforts of the state legislature and how it might affect minority participation in leadership roles. Also, stay tuned in for news roundup, views, sports, and movie reviews. If you'd like to be featured on our show or to advertise, please contact us at 713-789-6397 or at indoamericannews@yahoo.com.
Way, that's great.
Yeah.
Nice lineup.
Very nice.
So, Pramod, it's all over to you.
Yes. Live from Indo-American News, this is Pramod Kulkarni with the latest news from Houston, the United States, India, and around the world. There's good news on the COVID front. The pandemic has slowed down for a fifth week in a row around the world. According to the AFP News Agency, the number of new daily cases decreased by 11% globally to 457,000. Nevertheless, we should be alarmed by the fact that the U.S. surpassed 700,000 deaths just 108 days after the country reached 600,000 deaths. The U.S. has had more COVID-19 deaths than any other country, followed by Brazil with 597,000 deaths and India with 448,000 deaths. The death toll in the U.S. has been primarily driven in recent months by people who remain unvaccinated. In fact, United Airlines is about to fire 600 employees who remain unvaccinated. Meanwhile, the Biden administration has authorized booster shots for people over the age of 65, healthcare workers, and younger people.
This is Sandhya Tucker, and yes, I just had full face and neck all therapy at AmeriJuve. Truthfully, it was a little uncomfortable as the energy zapped in deep to reactivate my own collagen. But the results are amazing. Chin lifted and tightened. Fine lines and wrinkles disappearing. Dark spots definitely faded. I am so excited. Optimum results are yet to come after 3 to 6 months and will last for years. For your complimentary all therapy consultation, call AmeriJuve 713-960-6262.
This is Sheriar. Come visit us at My Kolachi, Sugarland and Dallas. Fusion of Pakistani and Indian cuisines. We specialize in kebabs and karais. If you ever have our Loki ka halwa, I bet you will come back for more.
Kolachi Fine Dining. Come visit the Sugarland location, 59 and Williams Trace, next to Home Depot. For catering, call 281-240-0786. The best Pakistani and Indian fusion in Houston.
This is Sheriar. Ye hai Kolachi ki kahani.
Whatever your dreams, Houston Community College can help make them happen. Matthew couldn't wait to get a few college credits under his belt, so he's taking dual credit history while he's still in high school. Saskia is moving fast too, getting 2 years of college credits on her way to becoming an engineer. Whether your goal is a four-year university, workforce training, or a second career, HCC really is for everyone, anytime. Register now at hccs.edu.
Gujarati Samaj welcomes you to
Navratri Mahotsav.
From October 7th till October 16th, weekdays 8 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. and weekends 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. Mark your calendars. Only at GSH Event Center, located at Sam Houston and West Belford. For sponsorships, call Geeta Patel 281-615-2319 or Rocky Shah 713-298-0828.
Rising star of Houston, Sammy Z, CEO of Exclusive Furniture, wants to remind everyone that Exclusive Furniture is where low prices live.
The only South Asian news radio in Texas.
Indo-American News Radio.
Every Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m.
on Masala 98.7 FM.
Our studio number, 281-277-6874. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Indo-American News Radio. We are very privileged to have with us Sonia Rash. I hope I'm pronouncing it right this time.
You certainly are. Okay. Absolutely. Thank you.
As a practicing lawyer for nearly two decades, Sonia has represented clients in all types of cases. She is licensed in state and federal Southern District Courts in Texas. She has practiced in civil, criminal, municipal, and justice courts and is on the board of several nonprofit organizations that help those in need. She is the vice president of LULAC 2911, third vice president of Fort Bend NAACP, and on the board of directors of an organization called SMILE, a youth mentoring program, as committee chair. Her dedication to the community has led her to earn multiple awards in and out of the legal field. She received her law degree from TSU, her bachelor's degree in political science from OLLU, and a master's degree in economics from St. Mary's University. Her heart has always been dedicated to public service, justice, and volunteerism for those in need. In her free time, she also volunteers with Friends of Richmond, Angels with a Mission, Girl Scouts, and Mission One. She is running for Judge of Justice of the Peace in Precinct 4 in 2022 and believes in working together in unity to strengthen the ties between all communities to build an environment based on love, faith, care, and justice. Welcome to our show, Sonia.
Welcome, welcome,
Sonia.
So
wonderful reading your bio. And then she just came from the Women's March, which took place in Richmond.
Yes.
One of the rallies that happened across the...
One of the very many women's marches that are being held all over the country, actually.
Right, but in our region, so in Richmond. And you brought a friend of yours, Vanessa.
Yes, Vanessa.
Yes, I brought my friend Vanessa. Vanessa helps me out on my campaigns, and she's a great asset to my team.
Welcome, Vanessa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For coming to the studio.
Right. So, Sonia, rash. Now, that really...
You're not rash, right?
No. But I'm not rash.
By nature.
Or brash. But, I'm the only rash you'll ever want.
That's a good tagline.
But it's Sonia Berana Rash.
Yes. That's my maiden name.
And you're originally Parsi.
Correct.
Yeah, right. Berana sounds very Persian.
Your family, when you were telling me, was originally from Karachi, right?
Correct.
Right, yeah. And so they migrated a long time ago. When you were just a baby, you came over here.
I did. I came here when I was 2 years old, and we moved to Houston. And my parents still live in the same house that we originally moved to when we came here.
Oh, really?
And where in Houston is that?
They live in Westbury, which is...
Right. South Post Oak and 610.
South Post Oak. So specifically,
in the Galleria area.
No. Not even close to the Galleria area.
610 South.
They live where Hillcroft and West Airport is. So there's
Yeah, we know exactly where that
Butler
is.
Butler Stadium.
If you're old
enough to remember where Butler Stadium is.
They used to be, way back when, before everyone started moving west and southwest, there used to be an Indian store there called Gifts of India, something like that, at Westbury Square Shopping Center.
So we're not that close to Westbury Square. Now, I remember Westbury Square from many, many years ago. That used to be a place to be. They'd have all these small little stores. But we're not that close to Westbury Square. We're more close to Highway 90 and Hillcroft.
Oh, I see. Okay. But now you, of course, live in Fort Bend.
Yes, in Fort Bend is where I got married, where I had my children. I've been there for almost 13 to 14 years now.
Wow. Two lovely little kids. How old are they?
My youngest one is 5 and my oldest one just turned 12.
Yeah, ah, I saw the birthday pictures.
Very nice. And you became a rash by marrying a rash.
I certainly did. He made me a rash.
And guess what, listeners? Her yard is the best decorated yard, no matter what festivity it is.
Oh,
whether
really?
It's for Halloween, she goes way out.
Boy.
And so
our kids love it.
And also for Christmas. Beautifully decorated
nice.
Our kids love it. And you know... I think it's important, especially these past couple of years with COVID. I wanted to give them some sort of normalcy, and they have fun putting up the decorations. We have fun when people come by and want to take pictures.
Yes, I have taken several pictures of your yard decorations.
I need to come by and visit your yard then this Halloween
for sure. Come, my yard is open for anyone to come visit.
Have you already set up the decorations so far?
No.
she has to get on her husband's
case,
right?
He's the one that does all the heavy lifting.
Right.
So
coming to the point, Sonia, tell us what made you run for judge for...
Well, let me tell
Justice of the Peace for Precinct 4.
Well, thank you for asking, first of all. So I've always known since I was a child that I wanted to do something to help people, always. And there's a story that I have in my mind that that happened to me a long time ago. When I grew up in the, I would say, late 70s, early 80s, I must have been about 7, 8 years old, something like that back then. And during that time, if you lived here, you remember the Ayatollah Khomeini, you know that U.S. was at war with Iran. And I remember people really, they weren't so nice with any of us that looked like me or any of us that looked like they were Indian, Pakistani, because they didn't know. They didn't know where you're from, but as you had dark skin and your face looked like it was from a foreign country, we would get a lot of taunting. We would get, I shouldn't say a lot. In school, outside of school, but really as a child didn't bother me. I really didn't know what was going on at that time, but the memory that I have, the memory that is very distinctive to me is watching my older sister. Me and my mother would pick her up from middle school, and these two boys would behind her walking and telling her, you know, go back from where you come from. You don't belong here. This is not your country. And I mean, they would say some awful things, you know, your nose is too big and things like that. And I just remember her getting in the car crying, heavily crying. And I think that's what affected me, because I knew that is just not right. It's not right. It wasn't right for my sister. It wasn't right for my family.
For anyone.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was the point in my head as a child, that I knew that no matter what I did in life, I want to help people. And even as a lawyer at my practice, that's what I strive for.
So what kind of practice do you have?
Well, so I do civil and I do criminal work. I do the gambit. Now, I've been practicing nearly 2 decades. So I've really done a lot of everything.
Are you a jury-based lawyer? You basically...
I have. Yes, I have. I've done that. That takes a lot of time and energy. I've got 2 small kids, but yes, I've gone to trial before. I'm happy doing that. And my goal is to make sure that anyone that walks in my office that has a real case, that they get their justice. And a lot of times other lawyers, I take a lot of cases that other lawyers won't take because financially there's no gain in it for them. But it needs to be done because it's the right thing to do. And those are some of the type of cases I take because it makes me feel good to know that.
Well, let's focus in on your race that you've signed up for. When is this election?
That's a really good question. I tell you that because many people don't know that right now there's redistricting going on.
Our next speaker is going to be talking about that.
Oh, okay. So he'll let you know also that because of redistricting that normally it's in March. So it would be in March in 2022 for this, but it could be pushed out to even further. So March would be our early voting or primaries, which I have to tell people, you have to come out and vote in the primaries.
Correct.
People automatically just vote in November.
Is it a Democratic and Republican primary?
It is. So the primaries are the only time you are going to have to go in and tell people whether you want to be, whether you want the Democrat ballot or the Republican ballot.
Correct.
Right.
And then when you go to November, they don't ask you that. They'll have both and you can pick and choose, I'm hoping you pick Democrats.
So you're running as a Democrat then?
I am. I've always been a Democrat, a lifelong Democrat.
But now, Justice of the Peace, what I know about Justices of the Peace is that they marry people.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say.
But you know, any judge can do that. But the Justice of the Peace, yes, they do marry people, but they do a lot more than that.
Yeah, like tell us what exactly does the Justice of the Peace do? Because I'm sure we don't know a lot of our audience.
Yeah, you're right.
Don't know. Yeah.
Well, actually, the majority of what our Justice of the Peace does is traffic tickets, if you can believe
that.
Yes, we do traffic, the Justice of the
You're
Peace.
You're kidding me, so I'll be coming to see you. Jawahar knows how many tickets I get a year.
Ooh, ka-ching, once a month.
Yeah, there we go. So that's the majority of it in Precinct 4. It's traffic tickets. It's a thing called truancy. And truancy also is when your child doesn't go to school.
Sure.
And that's what the Justice of the Peace does over there. And they also do evictions nowadays.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. When there's a...
So renter's court?
Well, I don't know if you'd call it renter's court, but I guess you could. But if there's an eviction going on and your landlord wants to evict you, that's a place that they would do it at.
Sure.
There's also a small claims court.
Oh, good.
$20,000 or less is Justice of the Peace.
So you could be like Judge Judy.
Yes, kind
Judge
of.
Judy, the television person?
Right.
Yeah.
Sure, why
kind
not?
Of.
You can call me.
Judge Sonia. I like that.
Yeah, Judge Sonia, you know.
You
with
should
the little
have
gavel.
Your own TV show.
It would be very exciting with traffic court.
So do you have any opponents right now in the Democratic side?
So here's what I like to tell people. I'm not running against anybody. I'm running for this position. So if I have an opponent out there, I'm not really sure. I don't really follow what other people do. I just make sure that when I'm doing what I need to do, I'm doing it for the right reason. I'm doing it to not only win, but to represent our community, represent our county the best way I can. And that's by integrity, accountability, and being honest.
Well,
so will you be filling a position which is just like someone has just going to finish their term or?
Actually, right now in the position, we have a Republican It's an individual, a male Republican, who has been there, if I'm not mistaken, two terms, but there was no one that has run against him.
Oh, so, how long is each term?
4 years.
Oh, so 8 years he's been there.
And I believe that's true, yes. About 8 years he's been there. No one's run against him. And I truly believe if somebody had, if a Democrat had, and I'm the Democrat this time, but we could beat him.
Absolutely. Beat him. Absolutely. Yeah.
What about the number of the precinct four?
Yes.
How people in precinct four can vote for you, right?
Yes, precinct four.
So that's the same precinct that Nabil Shaikh is now.
And Nita Sani is also running.
Nita Sani is running the same
precinct.
That is
correct.
Explain where exactly is precinct four? What all does it include?
So precinct four, the majority of it is Sugar Land. Uh-huh. That is the majority of precinct four. Will you also run, besides Sugar Land, you hit parts of Richmond, like Aliana. Uh-huh. If you live near Aliana, you are in precinct four. You also hit parts of Missouri City. If you live in Lake Olympia, for example, that's precinct four. So it's fairly
quite
big.
Broad,
it's quite broad.
It's population-wise, how many, let me rephrase that. How many votes have you seen in the past that have, been cast for this position?
So again, no Democrats have run in the past two terms. So being able to actually calculate a good number of how many
votes
is difficult to calculate that when you don't have anything to back that up with. But I am hoping at least to get about 10,000 votes in order to win.
I think the total is about 20. How many people live in this area? Like how many residents?
Oh, it's huge.
Yes, it's huge.
And this is just a guess. This is just a guess. Probably over 100,000. So over 100,000. We definitely need everyone to come out and vote.
Yes. Based on the ethnicity, the demographics of this area, do you have any special messages for the South Asian community?
Yes.
Because most of our listeners are
South Asian,
of
correct.
That background. Yeah.
Absolutely. So here's what I say. We all need to come out and vote, mm-hmm. but to my South Asian brothers and sisters, we need to come out even more, because the reality is we don't come out to vote.
Exactly. You know what? I think voter registration deadline was like last Friday or something.
But for my race, you can still vote.
Okay. So that's, is there a deadline? Because last week I had Nita Sane on and I kept encouraging, our listeners to
vote.
Go and register. Many
right.
people are still not registered to vote.
Absolutely.
And it's a huge problem, especially in our people from our background, our
right.
ethnicity. So there is no deadline for voter registration?
No, there is a deadline. It depends on the race. So November there will be a race, but that race, if I'm not mistaken, that race has to do with more of city council.
Okay.
And not so much city council. I apologize. It is city council, but not in Sugar Land. It's in Missouri City, for example, is having their voting in November for certain positions there.
Okay.
For my position, it's going to be in 2022. So you do have time
to register,
but don't wait.
Exactly.
Because it's getting harder for us to vote.
Absolutely.
And harder for us to even register to vote. So the longer you wait, who knows what other obstacles may come between
Absolutely.
Now and then.
Absolutely, yeah. And you were going to tell us about redistricting.
Okay, I will tell you about redistricting.
Well, no, but wait a minute. We need to stay on focus on your race. We've got about a minute and a half before we go on to our next guest. So basically, what would you like to
tell our
send a message out?
Yeah.
Well, vote for Sonia Rash. That's for
please,
one.
Please, vote for me. One thing I would want you to understand, that the reality is where we live, we need to get our South Asians to come out and vote. We need to see more women in positions. We don't have that many women, and yet our area, we're made up of the majority of the area in Sugar Land, for example, and yet we don't have any examples for our children to look at. I also want to say, please look at my website. It's www.soniarash.com. And last thing, if you want a yard sign, I'd love to put a yard sign up. I'll even come over there personally.
Give a phone number.
Yeah.
My phone number is 713 416-9704.
Right. Thank you so much, Sonia. We've got about 20 seconds to go and for the commercial break. And by the way, if you want to know more about Sonia, we've been writing some articles about her, but we have her ad on our front page of our Indo-American News Radio, newspaper. So folks, don't go away. This is Indo-American News.
Yes, and I am a Democrat, by the way. I forgot. That's one thing I forgot to mention.
India News.
U.S. News.
World News.
Movie reviews.
And local community roundup.
Every Saturday.
4 to 6 p.m.
on Masala 98.7 FM.
Hi, I'm Jawahar.
I'm Sanchali.
And I'm Prabhon.
Indo-American News Radio.
GSH Event Center announces free classes on Zoom every Sunday at 10 a.m. Bhagavad Gita class by Sri Vishnubhai Devecha. Gujarati language class by Sri Arvindbhai Patel. Yoga class by Pradeep Sharma. To get the Zoom link, call Jagdish Kothari at 281-827-3488. Library will be open Saturday 10 to 12 and Sunday 12 to 2. Sports room with table tennis and carom boards are now open for all. Interested in hosting classes? Call Jagdish Kothari at 281-827-3488. Or email finance99@gmail.com.
The great American dream, owning your own home. Prosperity Bank wants to make that dream a reality. How? With their HOP mortgage. 100% financing with maximum loan amount $350,000. Refinance is allowed. And bankers who work with you. Call 844-U-HOP. That's 844-Y-O-U-H-O-P-P. Prosperity Bank.
NMLS 466414. Loan subject to eligibility restrictions and credit requirements. Offered in designated Texas markets. 100% financing based on lesser of purchase price or appraised value. Subject to change. Equal housing lender.
Hi, I'm Rishi from Trinidad. I love Houston, especially the beautiful houses. Not only the houses are great here, but the process to get one is so easy. With Loan Factory, you can buy your home without any income or employment checks. Loans for non-US citizens. Get competitive rates. You want your home? Loan Factory will help you get it. LoanFactory.com. 832-990-9999. NMLS 320-841.
शेर हमारे गीत तुम्हारे
presented by Karya.
तुमसे रोज मिलने को दिल चाहता है, कुछ सुनने सुनाने को दिल चाहता है, तुम्हारे मनाने का अंदाज कुछ ऐसा है कि रोज रूठ जाने को दिल चाहता है.
तुम रूठी रहो, मैं मनाता रहूं कि इन अदाओं पे और प्यार आता है, इन अदाओं पे और प्यार आता है.
KaryaManagement.com.
Whatever your dreams, Houston Community College can help make them happen. Matthew couldn't wait to get a few college credits under his belt, so he's taking dual credit history while he's still in high school. Saskia is moving fast too, getting 2 years of college credits on her way to becoming an engineer. Whether your goal is a four-year university, workforce training, or a second career, HCC really is for everyone, anytime. Register now at hccs.edu.
The only South Asian news radio in Texas.
Indo-American News Radio.
Every Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m.
on Masala 98.7 FM.
Our studio number, 281-277-6874.
Okay, folks, that was a very exciting little interview
with
Sonia
Rush.
She's enough to get you motivated to go out and vote. And
I think we should all go out and vote for her.
Right, and we should all go out and vote for the right leadership, because at the end of the day, if we can't trust them for what they're doing,
and she's very deserving.
Right, she certainly is.
Perfect.
But
for the position.
Our next guest is actually someone who deals with voting issues and other issues across the state. Erica Greeter, hopefully, I think it's Greeter. Is it Greeter? Is it Greeter or Greeter?
It's Greeter. I'll answer to either, but it's Greeter.
Yeah, Erica Greeter, she's a columnist with the Houston Chronicle. She's been on the show before, and really, I really enjoy a lot of the commentary that she writes. She actually caught my eye this past a week or so ago when she wrote about the politicians who are redrawing the districting maps for all the positions that we have across the state. And I was just, first of all, I know that this is gerrymandering. It is done by both parties. So here it is, the Republican Party doing it. But the Republican Party is doing it so blatantly. And at this point in our junction, it's with all the Asian American Pacific Islanders. They're the ones who are really growing in population, all the minorities growing. And so they get, it's an affront to them. Don't you think, Erica?
Yeah, no, I think this, these maps, so, you know, we have this process every 10 years after the census, and it's always weird, and I think it's always not good for voters, right? Because you have politicians themselves drawing the maps to protect themselves, right? So
right.
As a voter, you're like, well, that's not how it's supposed to work, right?
Yeah.
In this case, what we have is, you know, so this time around, you know, the state has grown by 4 million people since the last census in 2010, so now we're almost 30 million Texans, and that means we get 2 new seats in Congress, so they're redrawing the congressional map, so there'll be 38 U.S. House districts, not just 36 like we have today.
Right.
And then they're redrawing the state legislative maps, the state Senate and state House maps, so they can they kind of adjust so each district is like sort of equal in population numbers. And that means we're getting some new districts in Harris County and Sutherland County, and rural Texas, West Texas, East Texas are losing some districts. But, you know, to your point, I mean, what's sort of striking at this is that in the state, the growth has come from people of color, right? It's come
right.
from Asian Americans, who are
yeah.
the fastest growing demographic in the state. It's come from Latinos, who are, you know, about 2 million of the 4 million new Texans, and from Black Texans. So, you know, this to me sort of a moment where you'd expect to see more representation for Latino and Asian and Black voters, but we're not really going to see that. We're seeing maps that are once again about sort of protecting the Republican incumbents and sort of shoring up their districts so they're safe for another 10 years.
Yeah, I know, I know.
You're right. It is an affront, right?
So. Yeah, it is an affront. It's an embarrassment.
Raj Gaikwad scored his maiden century. That's quite a feat because, you know, it's very difficult to score centuries, Jawahar. Did you know that? In a T20 match because there are only 20 overs.
Oh, really?
But he managed to, yeah, achieve that feat. And he led the Chennai Super Kings to an excellent score of 189/4. But lo and behold, the Rajasthan Royals, led by Sanju Samson, they were able to get to that score, you know. So Sanju Samson and Ritu Raj Gaikwad are actually one of the leading, you know, run getters in this year's IPL T20. And the other game was between the Delhi Capitals and the Mumbai Indians. It was a closely fought match and it went to the last over, and Mumbai couldn't make it. Mumbai is going through a rough patch. So the number four position, the first three we know who are going to qualify.
Right.
But the number four position, it's still up in the air. KKR, Kolkata Knight Riders, is still in the running. But there are still like each team has to play 14, a total of 14 matches. And right now, like 11 to 12 matches have been completed by each team. Most of them have played 11 matches. One or two have just played 12 matches. So it'll still be interesting to see who'll finally qualify, you know, for the fourth position.
You know, Sanchali, every time you talk about this, you and Pramod, you yeah. both talk about cricket, I'm always impressed by the fact that you, as a female, are so interested
in
cricket.
Women's cricket has taken on big time. They have women's cricket leagues. You know,
I know, but
like,
it's not like you play cricket.
I know, but I mean,
you follow it so well, though.
Do you play tennis?
No, well, no. Yes,
okay.
I do.
Okay, all right.
Okay, but yeah. you follow it so well, which
yeah,
is
yeah. I mean, because
it's very
see, it's like
it's very commendable. It's very impressive.
Soccer is our national sport. Oh no, actually, hockey. Field hockey is our national sport.
Uh-huh.
But you tell me how many people are interested in hockey in India, and how many people are interested in
cricket. Yeah, well, especially since they went to these smaller test matches
and
so on. And
soccer is like the poor man's sport. But even then, in India, cricket happens to be the most popular
right.
sport.
Right, soccer and field hockey, people aren't winning a lot of championships.
Right, at least this year in the Olympics, you know, they did well.
But out of curiosity, since I mentioned that, is soccer, they have soccer leagues like this too?
Where?
In India?
Oh my God,
it's huge,
especially
it's huge.
In
But
Bengal.
It's not as huge as cricket.
In Kolkata, there are three teams actually.
But
Mohan Bagan, East Bengal and Mohammedan Sporting.
Mm-hmm.
So in Kolkata, soccer fever is very high. I mean, the rivalry between these three teams, it's so palpable. And, you know, there are riots, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of money at stake.
Yeah, people who have immigrated from Bangladesh, which used to be called East Bengal, they are mostly the East Bengal supporters. And people who are originally from West Bengal, they're the Mohun Bagan supporters. And then there's Mohammedan Sporting. So
Mohammedan Sporting, how about that? But so there's a lot of money.
But now there are so many soccer leagues.
So there's a lot of money in the leagues then?
I don't know about the money, not as much as cricket for sure. So, folks, I didn't get to watch a movie this week, but I can review the No Time to Die, the Bond movie. I've read some, but I can talk about it later after watching the movies.
So. Yeah, let's watch it because I think I'm going to go myself.
So you don't. It'll be no the first spoilers, right?
First movie I'm going to go see in a theater.
All right. Yeah.
And it is Daniel Craig's last Bond movie.
Last Bond movie, that's for sure.
And I love the pink jacket that he was wearing at the awards.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So it would be really interesting.
Right. But there is one Hindi serial that people are talking about. Pramod has sent a little clip about it. I can talk about it real quick. It's regarding tennis, so you might be interested, Jawahar. It's made by this power couple in the Indian movie direction business, the Tiwaris.
I see.
It's called, I'm trying to pull it up. So did you watch any sports or did you watch any movies?
I have no time. I have no time. I was traveling a lot last week. I went to Washington, D.C. and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So,
Okay, it's called Breakpoint. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So it's a series, okay? And it's a documentary kind of a sport series. Mm-hmm. And it's about the rivalry between Leander Paes and Mahesh Bhupathi. Mm-hmm. Because they were like the power duo in the doubles category at one point, and then they had a falling out. Mm-hmm. And this documentary goes into the details of what exactly happened, and you know, it's based on this turbulent tennis relationship. So it sounds very interesting, and the power couple are Nitesh Tiwari and Ashwini Iyer, husband and wife team. They're very famous filmmakers. Nitesh Tiwari has made Dangal and Chichore. Ashwini Tiwari has made Panga and Bareilly Ki Barfi. So they dissect this on-again, off-again equation and painstakingly dig into the push and pull, the power dynamics, fire and water combination of Leander and Mahesh. Wow. So it would be an interesting documentary to watch. Cool. Yeah, it's called Breakpoint.
Well, Sinchali, we're almost out of time. I'm going to close with one song here.
All right.
And since we're going to close with a song, this is Jawahar. I'm going to end up saying goodbye to everybody. I'm so sad to leave you guys.
Oh, and I also wanted to wish Dan Mayur a very happy birthday. It's his birthday today, Dan, and he's one of our frequent, you know, guests.
Frequent flyers.
And he, does a lot of shows with us. Educates happy
birthday,
us about
Dan.
Yeah.
Happy travels and so on. And Sinchali?
Yes.
So have a good week, and then we'll be back next week, right?
Yeah, Navratri season coming up. It's Mahalaya, then Durga Puja.
Yeah, very busy,
Vijaya Dashami, Dashera.
High holy days.
Yes, October month, Hindu Heritage Month, remember?
Right, Hindu Heritage Month. And absolutely, there was an inaugural gala yesterday on the Hindu Heritage Month.
Okay.
So, folks, this is Jawahar. I'm going to wish you adios, and we're going to close out with this.
Funny, with the abortion ban, you don't even have to have been injured, right? But in the situation you're describing, you were injured because you voted for somebody.
Right.
That was your rep, and now that person is not going to be, you don't even have the option to vote for that person, right? Perhaps?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So, but unfortunately, you have very little recourse. For some reason, these Republicans don't give us, they give themselves a lot of power, right? But they don't really want to give us the power, it would seem.
Yeah, yeah. So the majority, the other day I was, Representative McPaul's district goes all the way from down in Laredo all the way up to San Antonio, some strange, he's a lone Democrat. And I thought, how in the world can he even represent all these people? I mean, it's physically impossible to go from point A to point B like this.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that one. It's actually I know that who that is because it's my parents live in that district. It's Henry Cuellar's district. Henry Cuellar, uh-huh. I say, lives in Laredo. And my parents live northeast of San Antonio, you know, so it's a pretty big district, right? And that one's it's very long. I mean, it takes about 3 hours to drive from San Antonio to Laredo, maybe four from my parents' house to Laredo.
Right.
But it's not too misshapen. Whereas some of the ones you look at in like Harris County just look ridiculous, right?
Right.
We always have a little contest in the newsroom to try to figure out how to describe what a district is or where it is in Harris County, what it looks like, you know, and that's where you print them out and sort of try to look at it like an ink blot or like a Rorschach test, like what is this CD2, what does this new shape remind you of?
sure, absolutely. So they're following the census tract. They use a census tract as a guideline and say, okay, there this person over here, he's voted Republican before or Democrat, so we want him in this district or that district. Is that legal for some people to know how I voted?
Yeah, that's legal. They can see if you voted in the Democratic or Republican primary. You can check that. That's public record in Texas. That doesn't mean that you are a Republican if you vote in the Republican primary or vice versa. Sometimes you're voting in that primary because it's open. But they can check that information. They have that information. And again, I mean, what's sort of frustrating about, you know, how this map affects people of color in Texas is that the correlation is pretty real, right? So about 90% of black voters in Texas vote for Democrats, right?
Right.
About 70% of Asian voters, as far as we can tell, it's a very diverse voting group. About 65-70% of Latino voters, right? So, and then a majority of Democratic voters in Texas are people of color.
Right.
The majority of Republican voters are white or Anglo.
Right.
And so if you're dividing communities of color, or you know, dividing Democratic communities, you are dividing communities of color.
Yes.
Even if you didn't look at the data to double check that, right? If you take Third Ward in Houston and move it out of Sheila Jackson Lee's district, which they just did, you definitely have to know that you're affecting black voters by doing that, right? And then I think there's a stat I saw. It was so shocking to me. I mean, it wasn't shocking, you know, what is shocking these days, right? But it really was kind of shocking. But the Texas Tribune did a story, and they kind of did the numbers, and they said, you know, in the state house now, there's 150 districts.
Mm-hmm.
And more than 80 of those districts have majority white voting populations in the district.
Right.
And for Latinos, it's only 33. Only 33 are majority Latino districts.
I see.
And so now they're going to change it so that it's a few more majority white districts and a few fewer majority Latino districts, which just seems so backwards.
Right.
Given how the state's population is changing, right?
Yes, that's true. That's true. So this is certainly, it's very segregationist in a way, you know? This is kind of like what you expect to find in what might have happened in South Africa, apartheid South Africa, and here we have this happening in Texas, and the majority white, I mean in this case, just like you described, the majority white leadership has no problems with it. In fact, they want to do this.
Yeah, you know, and there's a bit of irony too because you know you have Republicans. President Trump, he didn't really overperform in Texas overall. He won the state by about 5 points in 2020, but he did better than people expected among like South Texas Latino voters especially.
Right.
And so Republicans have